Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay on Tuesday, November 4th. Thank you for downloading today's podcast. Coming up later, we've got details on scrapped plans to revive an historic pub that burned down in a storm, a silent protest from families who feel they've been let down by special educational needs provision, and villagers gearing up for a fight over a proposed new lorry park. But first, taking a look at the top story on our website today, a Folkestone man who failed to register his two XL bully dogs and then let them breed has agreed to have nine puppies put down. Brandon Crawford claimed in court he thought his pets were American Staffies and he didn't need a license for them. The pups were seized at 2 days old following a tip-off. The 27-year-old from Edward Terrace on Folly Road has been allowed to keep the two older dogs, but with conditions. He's also got to pay £7,000 in kennel fees. Bar staff at a club in Dover have been recognised for their bravery after stepping in to stop a knife attack. Four workers at the Dizzy Donkey reacted when it happened near their venue in Biggin Street in January. They've been given silver medals at the Police Public Bravery Awards. A drunk driver has lost his licence after cutting in front of a police car near the M20 in Ashford. A court heard how the officer was forced to brake hard to avoid crashing into Charlie Rickard's van. Cannabis was found during a search of his vehicle. The 25-year-old from the street in Orr has been ordered to pay nearly £900 and banned from the road for 16 months. Now it's V-Day. Kent Village could be left without Christmas lights this year after flags were hung from lampposts. The parish council in Harrietsham has warned they won't be able to put up festive lights until the St George crosses are removed. They were displayed over the summer as part of the Raise the Colours movement. Whoever installed them is being urged to take them down. Eddie Powell is chairman of the parish council.
Having arranged the annual permit for the installation of the Christmas lights on the A20 through the village, the parish council was informed by Kent County Council's street lighting department that for safety reasons, attachments cannot be placed on streetlights which have a flag hung on them. They need to be removed before placing the attachment. When the flags were first erected, the matter was discussed with our contractor, and they advised that they could install the Christmas lights around the flags without issue. However, with the caveat placed on the installation of the Christmas lights by KCC, this is no longer an option available to the parish council. It is not within the contractor's remit to remove flags as part of the installation process, as the flags and street columns are not council property. The parish council is not permitted to use public funds to pay for their removal. We are hoping that whoever installed the flags will be able to remove them in due course to allow for the festive lights to be installed as planned. The parish council felt it was important to make residents aware of the potential implications as early as possible, given the short timescales involved for the Christmas lighting installation.
Kent Online News.
A Folkestone woman who has more than 40 previous convictions is back behind bars after attacking two police officers. Rhiannon Thomas was arrested for stealing a bottle of wine and harassing members of the public on Sandgate Road in August. The 36-year-old from Langhorne Gardens has been locked up for 16 weeks. A former nurse from Hythe who sold Class A drugs to his friends has avoided jail time. David Popple was found with more than £3,000 worth of methamphetamine when police searched his flat in 2022. The 63-year-old from Belmarsh Crescent later pleaded guilty to possession with intent to supply. He was given a suspended sentence and must do rehab and unpaid work. A prolific shoplifter has been recalled to prison after being caught stealing food from a co-op in Ashford. Robert Bishop was on licence when he took steak and ready meals from the store last month. It's not been stated when the 38-year-old from Beach Drive in the town will be released. He's also been ordered to pay compensation. Children's shoes have been placed outside Maidstone's County Hall as part of a demonstration over special educational needs. Parents who feel they've been let down have been taking part in the Every Pair Tells a Story movement. Rachel Campbell was among those who took part in the silent protest.
We're here today for a silent protest to support our children and get every bit of support we can, as we feel like the system is failing our children within and without schools.
Why do you think the system is failing?
because money is going elsewhere where it should be supporting our children for going through schools and later on in life.
This protest is about the SEND pupils and students that have been let down by the education system.
Yes, that's correct.
So, what do you mean by let down?
Let down, there's no support within schools. So my son was given support, he was given funding throughout school up until September. He had it for about a year and a half, 2 years, and they've taken his funding away, and he is now put back into an older year group without any support and going through school without any support within school.
I imagine this protest will help to inspire.
I hope so. This is to get the word out and show how many children, which there's a lot of children that have been failed within the school system and outside the school system, to show that they all need help and funding to get where they need to be.
Victoria Lawson also joined the demonstration. She's a local psychologist and a SEND mum.
I'm here with my wellies today to represent my children because my eldest son has high masking autism.
Please tell us, why is it important? Why is this protest important to you?
So this is important to me both as a mum of a child with autism and a psychologist who supports children and families with neurodivergence and issues related to it. And I think it's just a really important opportunity to get our voices heard and make a very visual display of the need that's around.
What unique challenges have you and your child faced in the education system?
So my child's at the beginning of his education journey and he's just in reception. Luckily he's in a really lovely school who are really supportive, but he's been quite significantly impacted by a very ill-managed transition where the EHCP application was turned down before they even assessed him when he was just 3.5, saying that he had no needs significantly above every other child or something, some such twaddle. And kind of services dropped out. He was left with absolutely no support. And then over the summer, he had the most severe autistic burnout that just caught us completely out of the blue. So we had about 4 weeks in the summer where he was so distressed, his sensory sensitivities were so heightened, he couldn't get his clothes on. We couldn't even take him down the park. He couldn't have his nan around the house. And we had to kind of really strip things back and build him back up for school transition. And in my mind, it was all completely unnecessary, because if he had a properly supported transition, then we could have kept him steady and he could have avoided the distress that a four-year-old doesn't need to experience.
What are you hoping to see change after today?
Flexibility. I think just affording a bit of flexibility for these children in the education system and listening to parents who care and know their children, and we're not the enemy. I think everyone's very divided. There's camps, there's blame, there's guilt, there's shame. And actually it's about coming together and supporting our children.
And imagine for you, this must have been quite an emotional time.
Yes, definitely ups and downs. And I think myself and my husband, we haven't even started kind of unpacking and processing the feelings that we're experiencing along the way on behalf of our children, because we've got to keep our head above water and look after our children. So, yes, it's very emotional.
They were both speaking there to reporter Henry Luck from our colleagues at KMTV. Kent County Council say they are committed to making sure every child has access to the education they need. However, they add that they recognise the deep frustration felt by some families who feel the SEND education system, which is under considerable pressure nationally too, does not work for their child.
Kent Online News.
Hundreds of jobs could be coming to Medway as plans are approved for a new £50 million biofuel plant. It'll be based at the Kings North Industrial Estate on the Hoo Peninsula and will convert waste cooking oil into fuel that could power some of the equipment used to build the Lower Thames Crossing. We're told it'll eventually lead to about 200 direct jobs coming to the area. The site will also enable more research and development. You're being given the chance to say what you think about plans for two major housing developments in Maidstone. If approved, the Heathlands Garden Settlement and Lidzing Garden Community would deliver up to 7,000 properties, with up to 40% on each site being affordable. Council bosses say they're looking to meet a housing need in the borough, but also protect the character of the area. Head to Kent Online today to read about the experience of a mum of three who's refused to leave a block of flats due to be turned into luxury apartments. She's been living alone in Penzance House for the last 6 months following a long-running dispute over her eviction. The resident asked to remain anonymous, but after calling the property home for the last 6 years, she's decided to share her side of the story as she finally prepares to leave. The local council say they realise it's been a difficult time for all affected households and they've assisted a number of residents to find alternative accommodation. Developers say work on the site is scheduled to finish in February 2027. A man who runs a catapult club in Kent has been telling the podcast how sites like his can help stop people using the weapons on wildlife. The sport involves shooting metal targets, with competitions taking place across the country. Nicola's been chatting to Lee Harrison, who opened the West Kent Catapult Club last year to create a legitimate place for target shooting. He says reports of young people targeting wildlife make him angry.
You kind of think, you know, it's just a fad. It's gonna fade away. Don't worry about it too much and just keep doing what we're doing. But, you know, the years have gone by now and it's still in the news and it's still, you know, bothering people and antisocial. So that's why we, as a sort of sporting community, have decided to let people know that we actually exist, because where everyone's calling for a ban all the time and things like that, maybe if they know that we've got teams and we compete regularly all year and things like that, maybe it'll just change their mind a little and maybe head for a restriction, or, you know, to aim at the perpetrators rather than the sport, if you know what I mean.
So tell us a bit more about your club. Where do you meet and what sort of things do you do? Because you mentioned they're competing, so it's at quite a high level.
It is a high level. It's an incredibly high level, to be honest. I can compare it in a way to sort of mini archery, because the way we'd sort of, you hold the catapult sideways, so it's kind of like a bow. And then when you bring your elastic back, you have an anchor point, the same as you would with archery. And it's all the same principles. So it's basically like being able to have a miniature bow and arrow in your pocket. The club is based in Matfield, on the edges of Matfield in Kent. We meet up on a Sunday, every single Sunday, from about 8 till about lunchtime. And we have various amounts of people come down. So, I mean, 1 week you might have about 8, and then another time you might have about 15 people there. And we all sort of split up into groups, and we've got a 30-target course, a little bit like pitch and putt. So you've got a peg where you have to put your foot on so that everyone's got the same disadvantage or advantage. And then you've got metal targets at various distances and various heights throughout the woods. And it's basically like a half circle shape. And we work our way around the woods. And then when we get to the end, we have a clicker where you count all your points as you're going round, and then we see how we've done against each other every week.
You mentioned earlier about talk of a ban. Obviously, there's been a lot of talk about that. If, obviously, you don't want it to go as far as a ban, but do you think maybe that the catapults should be licensed, and only if you have a license should you be able to use them, similar to if you had a gun license, for example?
I don't think that would work, personally. I'd say what you need is a restriction on age, so you couldn't buy them unless you're over 18, much like knives, you know, like kitchen knives and things like that. And the other thing is, I don't think police have got enough. They could stop a teenager now, and they haven't really got the right to take it off of him. They have to prove that he's up to no good with it. So if you change the age restriction so that you had to be 18 to have one, and also so that police can stop and take it away from you without having to see evidence that you've misused it, I think that would help a lot. And also, I'm seeing local councils have started putting things on nature reserves and parks and things like that, where, you know, if you're seen with a catapult, you know, they can call the police or ask you to leave. And I think that's not a bad shout, to be honest, because, you know, you shouldn't be, none of us would ever be in a park or nature reserve, you know, shooting catapults. There's no need for it. I am working with Kent Police, doing a few bits and pieces. Basically, I got approached by Kent Police to go over and have a meeting at Tunbridge Wells at the police station. And we discussed how we could work together in the community. And what we've come up with so far, I've been going to the high street with the club and the youth liaison officer and some PCSOs and things like that. And we've just been letting members of the public come over and talk to us, and, you know, a bit of an amnesty going on. So if anyone's got these heavy sets that do all the damage, they could hand them in. And I'd say to them, you can come down the club and we'll teach you how to shoot properly. And then the next part of our initiative, what we're doing now, is for these children that have been in trouble with the police for misuse of catapults, they can come along after the club's normal hours, and I'll stay behind with some PCSOs and I'll go round with them, you know, maybe a group of five or six, try and show them there's more reward in hitting targets rather than hunting and things like that, or not even hunting, they're, you know, they're just shooting seagulls and things in the park. And then if they stay with it and keep with it, I'll start doing competitions with them so they can start winning little trophies between them, just totally their own thing, not related to us. And hopefully try and instill some of that spirit into them.
Kent Online News.
Now, taking a look at our top story today, plans to rebuild a Kent pub that burnt down after being struck by lightning have been scrapped. The Green Man in Hodsall Street went up in flames during a storm in June 2021. I've been speaking to Alex Langridge, who's been covering the redevelopment for Kent Online. She's joined me now to answer some questions. Now, Alex, I remember this was quite a big story when the Green Man pub burnt down in 2021. Can you just remind us of how it all unfolded?
Yes, so in the early hours of June 16th, 2021, the Green Man was struck by lightning, which caused a fire to rip through the building. At the height of the blaze, fire engines fought the flames and water was drained and pumped from a nearby swimming pool to assist. The building was kind of left with just sort of the main structure, but weeks later, Sevenoaks Council's Building Control Department declared that what remained was unsafe and therefore ordered the site to be demolished. It has been left kind of derelict ever since.
Plans had been approved to rebuild it. Can you tell us a bit about what those plans were?
Plans to restore the pub in the same spot were approved in April. It was a different design and had room for a B&B style accommodation. The plans were to change and improve the functionality of the ground floor, bar and restaurant area, and then provide a small number of rooms in the first floor and attic level, which could then be let out by pub customers. The person behind the scheme was nearby beef farmer and developer Mark Stoneham and his company Alchemy Estates Limited.
And now developers have pulled the plug.
Yes, so 7 months on from having plans approved, the owners of the site have now told Sevenoaks Council that they intend to dispose of it. Mark Stoneham told Kent Online that he was forced to give up on the redevelopment scheme due to the increase in building and future running costs. He said his intention was to rebuild it and keep it as an investment by renting it to someone who could create a nice community pub. However, the building costs have inflated by 40% and have ballooned. The operating costs of staff, national insurance rates and compliance have also increased, and the pub is therefore commercially unviable.
Now, what's this about the Green Man Recovery Group? What's the idea behind that?
Following on from the fire, the community came together to form the Green Man Recovery Group with the intention to try and restore and save the pub. They successfully got it listed as an asset of community value and did previously bid to buy the land when it first went up for sale, which was unsuccessful. However, since hearing that the site was going to be up for lot again, they've revealed that they will be submitting a bid to purchase the land. Speaking on behalf of the group, Sally Samuels told us that the Green Man has always been the heart of the community, and they want a chance to bring it back together and rebuild something for the village's future. A spokesman for Severn Council has confirmed that it has received an intention to bid for it, and as it is an ACV, it means that the sale cannot proceed until a six-month period ends in March. During that time, the owners can choose to sell to the community group, but are under no obligation to do so. However, they can't sell the property on the open market until the 6 months has elapsed.
Thanks so much, Alex. You can find out more by clicking on the story of the homepage of Kent Online. A petition is due to be handed to councillors in Sevenoaks this week after plans for thousands more homes were revealed. A field behind properties in the Hawthorne Park part of Swanley is among those earmarked for development in the draft local plans, and residents aren't happy about it. If approved, it would see more than 1,100 homes a year built in the district over the next 15 years. A consultation is underway. Now, an open meeting is due to take place in a village Bridge in Dover tonight as residents prepare to fight plans for a new lorry park. The proposals would see the site with enough room for 600 trucks built near Hotham alongside the A20 at the Courtwood interchange. Its aim is to reduce congestion caused by lorries backed up at the Port of Dover. Reporter Sam Lennon has been speaking to Hotham Parish Councillor Peter Robinson.
We've heard for so long that they're going to come up with a solution to Operation Tap and Operation Brock. What we had heard was that Courtwood roundabout was going to be used as a document station, but we hadn't heard anything until after the blue. We've got a letter from Dover District Council to say that a private contractor is going to build a lorry park from Courtwood roundabout up towards the village here for 600 lorries. This is an area, well, for one, it's greenbelt farmland. It's an area of outstanding natural beauty. And having that sort of facility on our doorstep of the village is just going to be, atrocious. It's going to mean that we're going to be subjected to noise, pollution, coming and going of lorries for 24/7, 365 days a year.
Have you been talking to the other villages and what are they saying about it?
We haven't as yet because we've only just kicked off, but we have got a Facebook group and we've sent out telling them about this open meeting, and the initial responses are not on Facebook, but I've been told there's quite a lot of anger and fury about something that's going to impact heavily on the village. I mean, we're talking about pollution, we're talking about noise, we're talking about constant to and fro of lorries, and the what I can gather anyway, the access for this lorry park will be from this roundabout, which is
Courtwood,
which is at the bottom of the A20 exit,
so on,
onto Folkestone Road. There's hardly any room for any activity there at all. So we're going to face a constant stream of traffic when we want to go towards Folkestone. And we're already facing constant hold-ups on the A20 because of the number of lorries that park there on a regular basis. There is at Elvington, is it, in Ashford, there's a lorry park which was built specifically for the lorries to come and go. It appears to be a white elephant. Millions of pounds were spent on it. Why can't it be used for something like a lorry park, if that's the case? There's also other land that's available. I know, don't really want to be a NIMBY, but basically, you know, why despoil an area of outstanding natural beauty? We've never had any industrialised activity around this area at all, yet because a private contractor who I believe was involved with the Ashford Park has decided that he can come up with a plan to build this. We're all running around and jumping as though there's no tomorrow. But the parish council, we've actually set up an extraordinary meeting on the 4th of November, preceded by an open public meeting from 6:30, so that we get all our parishioners together to get their views on how they want this handled. But personally, I think we've got to stop it with all the ammunition at our disposal.
Kent Online News.
The completion of a project to regenerate part of the coast on Romney Marsh has been pushed back until next year. Work on a water sports venue, visitor centre and 93 beach huts in Greatstone is continuing. It was originally due to be finished by last month, but we're told the grand opening is now likely to be in early 2026. Kent Online's been told a sports centre that suddenly closed with the loss of 144 jobs will partially reopen next year. Folkestone Sports Centre shut last summer but has now been taken over by the Sports Trust. Bosses have confirmed they plan to have the pool open again by the middle of 2026 and are continuing to explore options for the rest of the site, which also included a ski slope and sports courts. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups, and exclusive stories. You can choose a subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.